Grace and peace to you. Thank you for tuning into the movement. This show will push you to your destiny, to your purpose, where we hope to change mindsets by totally being real and raw. I'm your host, Cedric Griffin. Let's go. Grace and peace to you. Welcome to the movement. Let's go. This is a show that's brought to you every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. on Praise 107.9 FM. You know what they say, the early bird catches the worm, and we're ready to go. Today, we have a guest in the house, Brother Wayne. Grace and peace, Brother Wayne. How are you?
Grace and peace. I'm good. How you doing?
Oh, I'm highly blessed and highly favored. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
You know, I met Brother Wayne, from church. He was introduced to me by Pastor Luke, and I've been so honored and grateful to know him, and he's a phenomenal young man. And so, Brother Wayne, just tell us about you.
Well, my name's Wayne Bennett. Grew up here in Jacksonville, Florida, in the Brentwood area. It's pretty rough coming up in that area, in the Brentwood projects, that sort of thing. And fortunately for me, Brentwood Elementary happened to be an art school. So while I was in this community of drugs and violence and that sort of thing, the blessing was that Brentwood Elementary was this art school. And I was really hot-tempered, and I got into a lot of, you know, fights and that sort of thing. And I had a teacher. Her name was Allison Mastey, my fifth grade teacher. And she said, hey, you know what? I know that you're angry and you want to be aggressive, but I think that you're too gifted, you're too talented, you're too smart to go down this path. So she got me involved in the theater. And I started doing plays. My first play was A Midsummer Night's Dream by Shakespeare. Imagine that. You're in fifth grade quoting Shakespeare.
Wow. So you are 10 years of age quoting Shakespeare.
Right.
That's beautiful. So Brentwood Elementary, is it still a school of the arts right now?
I'm not sure. You know, I was there a few years ago and I subbed there. But I don't know that the arts are still prevalent there. To make a long story short, I went from Brentwood Elementary School to Landon, I'm a School of the Arts, middle school, and then to La Villa, School of the Arts, then Douglas Anderson School of the Arts. And I got my degree in drama from North Carolina School of the Arts in Winston-Salem, right outside of Charlotte.
Awesome.
So I pursued the theater, and it was my way of communicating and dealing with my emotions and articulating things that, that were difficult sometimes to just say or to communicate with people. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're from Brentwood. I heard you say the projects.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one thing that I'm a big fan of is not where you come from.
Amen.
It's where you're going.
That's it.
It's a lot of good that has came out of the hood.
Right.
You know, and so, man, I'm so honored. Thank you for being a guest on the show today.
Absolutely.
In fact, we're going to talk today about who cares what they're saying. Who cares what they're saying? You know, Wayne, so many times in life, I see people paralyzed because they are afraid of what other people are saying. They live their life being safeguarded because they're caring what other people would say.
Right.
Think about that. Who cares what they're saying? They're going to talk no matter what you're doing. And so the purpose of this show this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is to hopefully reignite you to say that who cares what they're saying? So many, I believe, people dreams, people goals, people's purpose in life is hampered because they're safeguarding, because they're afraid what people say.
Yeah.
Have you experienced any of those things where in your path? First of all, what is it that you're looking to do? What would you say when you look at yourself in the mirror and you would say, you know what? I'm on my purpose. I'm on my destiny. What is that first?
That is the pursuit of artistry. And particularly through the lens of Christ, you know, I'd love to use my art as a gateway to bring people to the gospel.
Notice he said the pursuit of artistry.
Yeah.
I think when you're pursuing anything, I mean, it's some passion and pursuit, right?
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
Go ahead, please.
So that's the goal for me, but I have been up against that. I mean, I think everyone hits that point in life where things get difficult, where you hear all the blurriness and the noise and the outside noise, and you have to take an opportunity to quiet it out. I know I'll speak recently about me auditioning for Columbia University. They have an incredible MFA program.
And what is MFA?
It's a master's in fine arts. So they audition about 800 people, and they'll select 18 people to be a part of this sort of elite class where you're training as an actor. And so it's extremely competitive, and it's extremely difficult. And, you know, I have BFA. I have a bachelor's in fine arts. So, there was noise surrounding me auditioning, and a lot of it was coming from myself.
But what was that noise? Explain.
It was like, hey, man, you've already done a bachelor's. You've already studied for 4 years in acting. Do you need more training? Are you a little too old now? Do you still have it? Those kind of doubts, that sort of blurriness that tries to cloud the mind.
Let's pause for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, notice he said a lot of the noise that he was hearing was coming from himself.
Absolutely.
Wow. Please continue.
Oh, yeah. And so I think that coupled with other people's opinions can create a bit of a disaster.
And explain that. I mean, because we're going to bless some people this morning. I mean, explain that.
So I think the idea of like you're sort of having doubts personally, and then you share this idea that you're excited about for someone else to come along and potentially crush it. It's an infant. It's a baby. It has to be protected, I think. But sometimes the passion and the eagerness to speak on it because you're excited, you know, ends up potentially making you put it in the hands of the wrong people. And so I say coupled with because, you know, I may have a conversation with someone or one of my cousins and they say, you know, bro, $50,000 a year, like you know, the money, it's a lot of money to go up to. Why would you do that? You know,
right.
But in my heart, it's like, I'm going to do it because it's a great opportunity,
right.
You know, like, because the money doesn't matter. Like right. You could land the right opportunity that, you know, it creates revenue streams for forever. If you, you know, if you're obedient to God and you just follow through what it is that you're pursuing,
right?
You know, so those doubts started to creep in about money, about being too old, about that sort of thing.
Why was being too old? Because in my mind that, you know, what is being too old?
Like the idea of being 32 and going back to school because most people at 32 are looking to be sunken in their careers, or they're grounded, or they're you know, right footed in their what they're doing. It seems comfortably, you know, but even that is, I think, a comparison thing. I mean, we can only gauge that from social media or something like that. And so when you create your life against the things that you're measuring up against other people, I think it creates some dissonance and it's just not a truthful lens. But I think what I came to was that, you know, God, your voice is ultimately bigger than anything that could ever be said to me from anyone or even myself. And if you've planted this in me, and if it's genuine, if it's authentic, and I know that I'm listening to you and you alone, I'm okay walking into the fire. So I, you know, I did what I had to do. I went up to Chicago and I auditioned for Yale, for Juilliard, for Columbia, you know, and I was, Columbia expressed interest. They called me back. I went to a callback in New York, and I'm now waitlisted at Columbia. There's a good chance that I could be going there for grad school. But I think it was a big lesson for me about placing myself in uncomfortable territory. You know, that it's comfortable to default to doubt. It's comfortable to you know, to sort of to rest in uncertainty. You know,
so, no doubt.
But the
it's comfortable to default in doubt. That's very powerful. Now, one of the things that, you know, notice Wayne said that 800 people apply, but they only pick 18, right? One of the things that I believe in, you know, he said he's on the wait list and it's a chance. I believe words are so powerful.
Amen.
Remove the word chance from your vocabulary.
There it is.
You're on the wait list and you're waiting on the call.
The call.
You're going to Columbia.
Amen.
You know, and I remember when I first met Brother Wayne, everything that you said to me, you had the expectations of you were going to Columbia.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And so what happens is, and this is what I mean when I say, so what other people are saying? I could only imagine people even close to you.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the things that they said to you about going back to school. Am I correct?
You're absolutely correct.
Can you share some of that? And we're not trying to blame. You don't have to say who those person was.
Yeah.
What we're trying to do is say, so what?
So what?
They're, who cares what they're saying?
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, they're saying what they're saying because, again, it's comfortable in doubt.
Right.
You follow?
Right.
And a lot of times people are expressing their own doubt onto you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So share some of those stories.
Well, I think the biggest thing was a a financial thing of saying, hey, Wayne, why would you go back to school? I mean, I know this is a great opportunity, but why would you put yourself in debt instead of how can we find the money? You know, and I think that's what you're saying, a testament to words. It's like, how do we do
Amen.
It? As opposed to this is a bad idea.
Most times, you know,
it's like, you know, it's there's always a way, you know, if you believe in it. And so I think the financial aspect of people who are close to me who and don't get me wrong. I think a part of them, they may be concerned about what they feel is the best path for me, or they can only be giving the best information that they know at the time. But I think as we know, through the lens of godliness, all things are possible, you know? And so we just believe that wholeheartedly and deeply. And so it was the financial portion of it. And it's also, I have a baby boy. My son is, he's four. He'll be five in July. And I love my son dearly. We have the best relationship. I love my baby boy. And that was also a concern. Like, hey, you know, you're gonna leave your son in Jacksonville to go to New York City, you know? And I just don't think that things are always that black and white, you know, because for me, it meant, hey, if I have to leave a bit to go build a better life for you, then I'm OK with that, you know.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
You know, and my first impression when I first met Brother Wayne, I saw you with your little son.
Amen.
And you were a father. I could see the love with your son.
Amen.
And so, but notice he said, ladies and gentlemen, he processed if I have to sacrifice for now to go make a better life for you, so be it.
So be it.
I lived my life. I have 4 boys and 2 girls. Mm-hmm. And I live my life doing not what the average, not what the norm said I should be doing, mm-hmm. but if I decided that, hey, son, sure I should be at your birthday party, but instead I'm going to be out showing property, or I'm going to be out doing whatever the case be. Mm-hmm. I'll do today what others are not. So we could live tomorrow as others cannot.
Amen.
I call it delayed gratification.
Amen.
And so with that being said, so often people, they often go by what the norm says. You know, yeah. I heard Wayne says that he thought that, why should he be going back to school at 32 years of age?
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I know some people who, you know, went to school. You know, I know a lady who just got her bachelor's at 40 years of age.
Mm.
It was a dream of hers. Just got it a month ago.
Wow.
So what does that mean? So what people are saying?
Yeah.
What is inside of you?
Amen.
You know,
yeah.
I know a few people right now that are very smart, made some bad judgments early on and didn't even get their high school diploma.
Mm.
And I'm saying, why? I'm hearing you saying you need to get that GED.
Mm.
Go get it.
Go get it. Go get it.
So what, your XYZ age?
Yeah.
Go get it.
Yeah.
So what people are saying?
So what?
You know, I that, live, yeah. you know, and one of the things that, you know, I used to be very incognito, I should say. And, you know, it's not that I thought or I cared what people said, mm-hmm. but I operated very, very low key so that they didn't know me.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I realized that, you know what? We have a lot to offer. We have a lot to share. We have a lot to iron sharpen irons with people like a Brother Wayne.
Amen.
And if Brother Wayne doesn't know what I'm doing because I'm so low key, because I'm caring what other people are saying.
Yeah.
And finally, I made a decision over a year plus ago.
Yeah.
So what people are saying?
What?
I don't care.
So what?
They talked about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if they talked about Jesus Christ, who are you or me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even when it comes from people who are loving us.
That's right. That's right.
So what?
And I feel like that's sort of rooted in godly principle. We were in Bible study last week, and we were talking through Sermon on the Mount, through Matthew 6, and how it starts with, like, you don't do things that are to be seen. You're not doing things to please men. You know, like if you do that, then that's your reward. We're doing it because it's rooted in godliness, because we're looking for the fruit of improving ourselves, which will ultimately improve the community. And I just feel like, you know, that's how you know that it's a distraction for me, was like, all right, what are people saying and what is God saying? You know, because those are usually on opposite sides of the spectrum, you know, and I think it's a trick of the enemy is to try to detour you, to take you off the path, to take you down that cycle of self-doubt and uncertainty and those kinds of things, as opposed to living to the best version of who you know you are and who God wants you to be, you know, because there's freedom in that. There's freedom in that. You know, like delayed gratification, the discipline is really where the freedom is, you know. And I think that's, yeah, it's just so many parallels. There's so many testaments to that, for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you could be in bed, you could be exercising, you could be cleaning. But this show, The Movement, let's go every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. on Praise 107.9 FM. You know, just listening and thinking about so what people say. I thought about my daughter. I have four boys and two girls. And my daughter, and I'm a proud 44-year-old granddad now. And my daughter at 24, my first daughter, Destiny, she just had a baby, January 20th, 2021, my grandson, Braxton. And so, I'm very grateful to God that he was a healthy baby. And this week I had a conversation with Destiny. And the one thing that I've been, you know, trying to get her to understand, you know, my kids, I have five kids here, and Destiny still lives in Alabama, where I'm from, Selma, Alabama, more specifically, Bogachita, Alabama, you know. So Destiny, you know, I raised my kids here with the mindset they don't care what anybody says. Amen. If they're doing what they believe is right, so be it. You know, they don't care what the opinions of others, you know, because one of the most expensive things you could do is pay attention to the wrong people.
That's right.
And I raised them on that mindset. Mm-hmm. And so here it is that with Destiny, one of the things that, she understands, but she wasn't raised on that, you know, and her mom believes in listening to what people are saying, more importantly her family. And of course, and sometimes family are going to always have opinions.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things that we did in my family in Alabama, we brought to the table that if you're not a part of the solution, you can't give an opinion. Right. Listen at that. If you're not a part of the solution, you can't give an opinion.
Right.
So here it is that if one of my cousins who made a bad judgment and is in jail for whatever the case be, if you're not a part of the solution, you can't give your opinion.
Amen.
And what it did is it eradicated a lot of buffoonery.
Yes.
A lot of foolishness.
Oh, yeah.
Saying that if you're not a part of the solution, you can't give an opinion. So even situations that I know that if I'm not a part of the solution, I can't even voice my opinion, even if I think my opinion is right. And so here's what happened. So Destiny just had a baby, and I shared with Destiny. I said, Destiny, she was talking about her mom saying she needs to go back to work because, you know, she doesn't want her family saying why Destiny is not working, so to speak. This is Destiny. It's a blessing that you don't have to go back to work.
Yeah.
Raise my grandson.
Yeah.
Don't put him in daycare.
Yeah.
You know, these are things that when I think back that, hey, Destiny, I'm going to do today. So literally, you don't have to work if you don't want to.
Right.
Work when you're fulfilling your destiny. Work when you're fulfilling your passion.
Amen.
You know, etc. And so Destiny was getting ready to go back to work, pleasing her mother, who's pleasing family members. Well, when is Destiny going to go back to work? She got a kid now. Well, Destiny, let them know that you're blessed with the father, that you don't have to go back to work.
Right.
Raise your son.
Yeah.
And so the mindset was, here it is that her son is not even 2 months old. And she's trying to go back to work because she's worried about what other people are saying. Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah.
That's a spirit that, why do you let what people say force you to get out of your lane?
Yeah.
So what if you're going back to school at 32?
Yeah.
So what if you're still fulfilling the passion, the pursuit of artistry still?
Yes. That's right.
So what?
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, you know, it makes me think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he has to go to the cross is the only way. And one of his disciples says to him, you know, like, is there another approach? Or he even makes that prayer, God, is there another way? You know, and doubt comes up, but you gotta pursue what it is you believe. The cross is the only way. You know what I mean? You have to shut down your own doubt, the opinions of other, and do what's necessary. The cross is the only way.
Amen.
No.
Amen.
So I mean, I feel like that highlights what's necessary to keep our focus on the thing that matters. That means so much to me to hear that. That if you are not a part of the solution, then I don't want to hear the chatter. Because I think that we are put here to help other people. You know, like, and at my core, I believe that we are here to serve. Mm-hmm. And when I think about that, it's like, I'm that kind of guy. I don't really want to talk about the problem. I want to help you. Mm-hmm. How can I help you?
Most definitely.
You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's, as a teacher, I wake up every day, I walk into the classroom, and that's what's rooted in me.
Right.
Is how can I help you?
Right.
You know, so I live my life that way. Is how can I help you, man?
Absolutely. That's awesome.
You know,
some of the businesses that I run, my philosophy is, you know, with my team, with my staff, you know, no one could bring me opinions, but they could bring me solutions.
Mm.
So here it is that I hire you right now.
Right.
You're going to be thinking, I don't know what to do. Why? Because I'm going to challenge you. Go out and find some solutions.
That's right.
To make this process easier.
That's right.
You follow what I mean?
Absolutely.
And if you're not finding solutions, then I know that, okay, you can't be on the team.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking for solution people.
That's right.
So what they say.
Yeah.
So many times when people come on board with me for the first 30 days, maybe 60 days, they're not given anything to do.
Right.
Why? Because I'm waiting on them to go out and find solutions.
That's right.
You follow?
That is right. Yeah.
You know? So, ladies and gentlemen, again, I want to remind you, stop worrying about what people are saying. Who cares what they say?
That's right.
Wayne, I want to thank you for being organic this morning.
Absolutely.
You know, thank you for sharing your story. I know it's going to bless some people.
Absolutely.
You know, get out of the comfort of doubt, I heard you say. That so blessed me.
Yeah.
Anything before we close this show?
I just thank you for having me. And I just want to reemphasize that, you know, the discipline is where it's at. The discomfort is where it's at. You know, I think that if you tell yourself, I'm going to go to the gym and I want to lose weight, you know, I'm going to be in there consistently for the next month, you know, you're going to wake up and there are going to be days that you don't feel like doing it. But you gotta get up and do it, you know, and I think that's where the growth is through consistency and the discipline. Yeah.
Awesome sauce. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening in on us, with us on this show, The Movement. Let's go every Saturday morning, 7 a.m. on 107.9 FM. And remember, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. The choice is yours. Grace and peace. Thank you for tuning into The Movement. We hope we have inspired you to go and pursue destiny and purpose. Our sponsors are Real Estate Cake and Premier Coast Realty. To submit questions or comment, please email us at themovementgo@gmail.com. That's themovementgo@gmail.com. We look forward to seeing you next Saturday at 7:30 a.m. Grace and peace to you.